Hi and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast consists of audio blogs which have been published on our website. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? This phrase is often used to get people to pay attention to the hazards they face while undertaking a dive, especially a rebreather dive. If you don't pay attention and make a mistake, then you are dead. The problem is that accidents don't happen like this, and as a consequence, we start to drift from acceptable behaviour. This blog has been written to complement an article written by John Bantin from Undercurrent, who highlights the risks involved in diving rebreathers, referencing the documentary I produced, If Only. Please visit the site and read his article. I have put a link to it in the show notes, as it gets across a number of key points well. However, I do have an issue with the phrase used in the article and the title of this blog, and I will explain why. Our brains are wired for efficiency. We look for the most efficient solution to a problem, maybe by taking less time, spending less money, cutting corners in the processes we follow, or spending less attention on a task that has become well practiced. This is normal human behaviour. Unfortunately, we often judge whether the task was successful by looking at the outcome, not by looking at how we got there. This is a cognitive bias, a mental shortcut we take to save mental energy. Good outcome means we had a good process, so let's repeat that process the next time, unless we engage in effective debriefing to highlight the drift. As we erode the standards we have been taught, we erode the safety margins built into the system. The system consists of training, equipment, environment, procedures, and humans and their behaviour, until we are operating on a knife edge, an edge which we don't know it might be. This is more commonly known as normalization of deviance. This drift or normalization of deviance doesn't just happen at the individual diver level. This happens at the instructor, dive center, and agency level. Note, if an instructor drifts and teaches the student what the instructor thinks is right but is wrong, the student is unlikely to know any better. So is it a student issue if something happens later due to a lack of knowledge or skills? How does the organisation ensure that drift is limited? And of course, forms are unlikely to have much effect on this as students don't know what they don't know. Now we've covered that drift is normal, let's look at what we can do to prevent this drift, complacency or normalisation of deviance. As a diving community, we don't have to reinvent the wheel, as the high-risk industries have already done the hard work in the latter part of the last century, between 1960 and the year 2000. They developed concepts like human factors and human and organizational performance, in which they recognized error-producing conditions and developed barriers and defenses to prevent accidents from happening. One of the most well-known models to explain this process is the Swiss cheese model from Professor James Reason. Reason explained that if we can design systems, tools, and processes at different levels within a system that prevent an error from occurring, providing defenses in depth, then we reduce the likelihood of an error making it all the way to those at the sharp end. Normally, sharp end refers to workers, but the same concepts apply to divers too. These levels were defined as organizational, supervisory, and individual. The Swiss cheese model is normally shown as a static image, but this is not how things work in the real world. The holes are created by humans because of their fallibility. They move around and open and close too. This is a simple, linear model with an obvious cause and effect process. Something happens back in time, which impacts something in the future. We think we can solve this by filling the holes, breaking the chain of events, and so the incident doesn't happen. Errors, mistakes, or violations still exist within the system, but they can't propagate through to completion, leading to an accident or incident. This model or analogy was valid for a considerable amount of time, but as researchers and industries started to develop ideas on systems thinking and complexity, there was a recognition that you didn't need to have a chain of events to have an accident. You could have an emergence of factors leading to an accident. In this case, you might have different pressures or issues coming together, and each on their own wouldn't have caused an issue. In effect, you create a critical mass, and it is why I created two animations that I have linked to in the show notes. These are my ideas, and they could be rubbish academically, but to me, they help demonstrate or explain emergence. In the first animation, I have created a spherical version of the Swiss cheese model, in which each of the layers or shells is a layer in the Swiss cheese model. For example, organization influence, supervisory failure, latent failures, and active failures. And at the center, there is a detector or sensor which will explode once a critical amount of energy falls on it. This animation has a big hole in it, which allows lots of energy in a short period of time to fall on the detector. Note that energy can come from different directions and failures. In the final animation, we have something similar. However, in this case, we have lots of little holes allowing energy to fall onto the sensor with the same result. If we look back at each of the incidents or adverse events in the three animations, we can identify those critical or causal factors which contributed to the event, hindsight bias. However, in real time, we are dealing with multiple competing goals which erode the safety margins which have been created. Again, this is normal human behavior. We don't know which of those factors will be the one which finally pushes the system to reach critical mass. This reminds of Sidney Decker's comment, "Cause is something we construct. It isn't something you find." That doesn't mean we are all doomed. There are recognized ways of reducing drift at all levels within the system, at the organizational level, the supervisory level, and for the diver at the sharp end. The UK Health and Safety Executive and Cranfield University wrote a report which highlights how accidents or incidents can be reduced in CCR diving, which included teaching divers about human factors and human error. The tools, procedures, and processes which are available are not enough. They need to be employed and checked or audited for effectiveness. If you don't check on how well an organization, an instructor or a diver is doing, don't be surprised when they have drifted a fair way from the standards and you have an accident due to drift and accumulation of bad habits, old equipment or old procedures. The accident will likely be a surprise despite having been made throughout the system and they didn't end up with someone dead until that critical mass has been reached, a point which you cannot predict with 100% accuracy. Note, checked or audited also means holding yourself accountable to what you have been taught using tools like checklists, briefs, and debriefs. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, the book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.